Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the music today that has glorified you as we thought in the offertory about the amazing grace of God. Oh, what a gracious God you are. And then during the choir singing, Lord, we want to praise your name and bless your name through our lives. And as Brother Mike saying, God, oh, we do need you. And we are very aware of that today. And we do pray for our ministry team as they're away from us, Lord. Watch over them, anoint them, and use them in a mighty way. And then, Lord, bless our time together now as we look at your word. May you speak to us. May your word be clear. May it be a great help to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to speak to you about a topic that has been in my heart a great deal over the last several years. As many of you know, my mother passed away 2.5 years ago. Went to be with the Lord after a very sudden illness. Last year, about this time, my wife's father, who had been sick for some time, went home to be with the Lord. Here at the church, we have seen many of our faithful saints of God be stricken with cancer or other diseases, and seems like we've been having funerals here at the church quite often for some time. And there are people here today I know who are hurting. Your spouse, your loved ones have left. And I want to help you with that today and kind of help myself too. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 3, it said, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." You don't need to look there because that's the only time you're going to hear it, okay? "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." I want to speak to you this morning about the blessed dead, the blessed dead. And I guess the question has to come to our mind as John, under revelation of the Holy Spirit of God, writes, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Why are they blessed? Why are they blessed? I want to give you some thoughts this morning and talk about, first of all, what happens when a believer dies. And then secondly, we're going to look at what's going to happen to a believer when the rapture occurs. And then finally, what's going to happen to a believer in the end time when Christ destroys this world, God destroys the world and recreates it and brings in the New Jerusalem. So number one, what happened? And we'll do this in past tense. What happened at their death? If you've lost a loved one recently, what occurred when they took their last breath as a believer? What happened? Let me give you a couple things. Number one, the removal of the soul. The removal of the soul. The corruptible body was abandoned. You see, I believe when Adam and Eve were created, they were created with incorruptible bodies, bodies that were designed to live forever. But because of the fall, those bodies were changed and became corruptible. And God said, "Adam, out of dust you came." And guess what? You're going to go back to dust. And in Genesis chapter 10, we read that Adam died. And you go through that whole chapter and it says, "And they died, and they died, and they died, and they died." You say, "Well, wait a minute, Gary, that's Adam and Eve. What about me?" Well, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for what? All have sinned." And so you and I today are dwelling in a corruptible body. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment." Our bodies are corruptible. One man said, "The minute you are born, you start dying." We have a corruptible body. And we are living with those corruptible bodies. And those who've gone on to be with the Lord live with those corruptible bodies. And how we have seen people suffer. Their bodies became weak over time. And we've seen elderly die, really of old age, as those corruptible bodies began to decay and continued to decay, and finally they took their last breath. We have seen folks who have died from the corruptible nature of cancer, as cancer has come in and attacked the body and has eaten the body, and has those cells have taken over, and the corruption of the body became very apparent. And finally that person took their last breath and went home to be with the Lord. And they left their corruptible bodies. Now here's the amazing thing. As you watch someone die and this corruption becomes worse and worse and worse, and at the high point of that corruption, when death occurs, which you would think would be the worst moment, something amazing takes place. Because it's at that moment that the soul of the man, the real person, leaves that corruptible body behind. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment a loved one dies who is a believer, they lay aside that old corruptible body. And their soul is gone. And at the moment which seems to be the worst, the low point really becomes the high point, because that person will have no more sickness. There's no more corruptible body. There'll be no more disease. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more sorrow, because the body is laid aside. The corruptible body is gone. You say, you've been talking about the soul. What happens to the soul? Oh, here's a great truth. 2.5 years ago, I believe January the 2nd, my mom took her last breath. I was not there. I'd been there several days before that. Thankfully, she had revived out of her coma, and we were able to speak to her. Really thought she was going to be fine. And I went home that Sunday, drove home, or maybe Monday. And that night, she went back to sleep and never woke up again. Passed away several days later. But the moment my mom took her last breath and she laid aside that old corruptible body, her soul took flight to heaven. And the Word of God says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What did Jesus Christ tell the thief on the cross who placed his faith on him? He said, what's the first word? Today. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. You see, there are people that teach there is a soul sleep, and when you die, your soul goes to sleep. That sounds exciting and all, but that's not in the Bible. There are people that teach there's a place called purgatory, and when you die, your soul goes to purgatory. Your body is laid in the grave. Your soul goes to purgatory, and it stays there until all your sins have been paid for by people praying for you, people lighting candles for you. That sounds like a marvelous doctrine, but there is not found in the Word of God. You can't find purgatory in the Word of God. Hallelujah, aren't you glad when your loved one who was a believer left this world and they laid aside that corruptible body, what happened? Immediately, they were in the presence of God. Immediately. There's no soul sleep. There's no purgatory. Hallelujah, when I got saved, Jesus paid for all my sins, past, present, and future. Jesus paid it all, folks. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, I'm so glad that when I die, I don't have to spend time paying for my sin. Jesus Christ already did that. And when your loved one who was a believer left this world, folks, they laid aside that corruptible body and they went to heaven immediately. Now, the question probably comes to your mind, so they're in heaven, so what's it like? Scott, I remember when your mom passed away. That's been, goodness, 20 years ago? 22 years ago. And Scott came to me and he said, Gary, what's heaven like? Because, you know, when we talk about heaven, we talk about the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and all those things. But, you know, folks, that's the New Jerusalem. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. That's the last point. Well, what's heaven like right now? I know that my mother's body is, her physical body, that corruptible body, is it's in the grave. Her spirit and her soul are now in heaven. But what's heaven really like? Well, we know a little bit. Ezekiel had a vision of heaven. You ever heard that song? Ezekiel saw the wheel away. That's about heaven. That helps you a lot, doesn't it? A wheel and a wheel and a wheel and a wheel and a wheel, and you're going, holy smokes, what is he talking about? We do know that he saw the throne of God and the brilliant glory of God. He also saw a rainbow in heaven, about all around the throne of God. A complete rainbow. We were in Florida, and in Florida, this time of year, it rains every day a little bit. And then you see all kinds of rainbows. We saw all kinds of rainbows. Never saw a full one. You won't. But in heaven, around the throne of God, beautiful rainbow. John, in Revelation chapter 4, John got to see heaven. And he saw some of the same things that Ezekiel saw. He saw some beasts with six wings and the seraphim and the cherubim and all of these things. And he saw the glory of God being reflected off of a crystal sea. Now, this is a kind of a cheesy thing to illustrate this, but when I was a kid, we used to go roller skating. How many used to go roller skating? Yes, I used to go roller skating, yes. And in those days, they would have this crystal ball kind of hang in the middle. You remember that? I know it's carnal, I'm sorry, but and they would turn lights on that thing and they would flash all over the place. And I hate to bring up a disco ball in church, you know, but I guess that's kind of what it was. But isn't that kind of what I kind of envision heaven that way? The glory of God just flashing off of the diamond surfaces and the beautiful surfaces and the crystal sea and the glory of God is just everywhere. And you know what the people are all doing, by the way? I didn't plan on preaching this, and I pick out the music schedule a long time ago. But you know what my mom and your loved one are doing in heaven right now? What the choir did? I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. I've already put in to lead the choir. There's going to be a huge orchestra, all kinds of trumpets. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And they'll be perfect, and I'll be perfect, and it's going to be awesome. And they're all around the throne praising the Lamb of God. Wow, what a scene. And there's perfect peace. There's perfect fellowship. There's perfect pleasure. There's perfect comfort. There's perfect love. Wow. You see, when your loved one, who is a believer, passes away, they abandon that old corruptible body. And that soul immediately is with the Lord. But something else happens. Not only removal of the soul, but secondly, when they died, there was a reunion with Christ and with the other saved dead. Think about that. The moment, my mother, every time she would write us a letter at school, she would always include scripture. She always had a verse at the end. My mother loved the Lord. My mother was a prayer warrior. She was a French teacher right when she got out of college, and I had to take 2 years of French in high school. Parlez-vous français? Fermez la porte. The one I heard the most was Fermez la, let's see, what was it? Fermez la, well, I can't think of what it was now. It's been a long time ago. It meant shut your mouth. I heard that a lot in French class. But she had her French Bible, and she'd have her devotions out of her French Bible and out of her King James Version Bible, and my mom loved the Lord, but you know what? She never saw the Lord in this life. Never did. In 83 years, she never saw the Lord. But you know what happened when she took her last breath? And her soul took flight for the first time. She saw the Lord. Wow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine when the soul takes flight? Paul said in Philippians 1:23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." And Paul knew that the moment his body, his corruptible body, would perish, that he would be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fanny Crosby, great writer, hymn writer, wrote thousands of hymns, was blind at an early age. When she died, first thing she saw for many years was the Lord Jesus Christ. And she wrote these words before her death, "When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face, and the luster of his kindly beaming eye, and for my whole heart will praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepared for me a mansion in the sky." And the chorus says, "I shall know him. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him I shall know him by the print of his nails and his hand. My lands, when your loved one went to be with the Lord, the first thing they saw was the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was also a great reunion with other believers of all the saved dead. They're all there. Think about that. Think of all your mother and your father, if they are deceased, who are believers. They're there. Your grandparents, your great-grandparents, those who are believers, your husband, your wife, they're there. What a reunion that must have been. Can you imagine? What a reunion that must have been. Some we've had here at the church who've had Alzheimer's, and they didn't know anybody for a long time. But they got to heaven, and you know what? They knew everybody. And the disease was gone. The disease was gone, and they were healed. What a reunion that must have been. You say, well, Gary, will we? You're talking about these soul, our body is in the grave, but our soul, are we going to know each other in heaven? Well, sure we will. Sure we will. You know what's interesting? In 1 Corinthians 13, 12, he says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known." It's interesting, in the Mount of Transfiguration, two Old Testament characters showed up. Did they know who they were? Sure, Elijah and Moses. They knew who they were. When Jesus was talked about, he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We're going to have complete knowledge in heaven. We'll have full knowledge, perfect knowledge. We're going to know each other. Sure we will. So, as you think about your loved one that has gone on to be with the Lord, remember, a couple things happened the moment they passed away. They laid aside that corruptible body. Their soul went to be with the Lord. And my, what a reunion took place at that time. So that's what happens. A couple things that happen when a believer dies. But what's going to happen when the rapture occurs? Now, I want you to take your Bible. I know you're beginning to wonder if we're going to look at the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the great rapture chapter. What's going to happen at the rapture? Okay? We've seen what happened when a believer died. What's going to happen at the rapture? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. In fact, we'll start at verse 14. And we'll start at verse 13. Do I hear 12? We'll start at 13. "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now, what's he talking about? Isn't that a great term for the believer who's died in the Lord? What are they? They're asleep. Because you know somebody who's going to sleep, what's going to happen to them someday? They're going to wake up. The body's going to wake up. So here we go. And he says, "Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep." Now here's what's going to occur. Verse 16. Number one, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was in this world for 33 and a half years. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He went back to heaven. And before he went to heaven several times, he said, "I'm coming back." In fact, in John 14, 3, he says, "And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So Jesus said, "Look, I'm leaving. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back and get you to take you to that place." All right? In Acts chapter 1, after he had gone back to heaven, the angel said, "And ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," I like that wording, "which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And then in Revelation chapter 22, three times through John the writer, the Lord said something. You know, what did he say? Three times he said, what? I come quickly, suddenly. The Lord has promised that he's going to come back. Now, it's been 2,000 years. It's been 2,000 years. Paul looked for the Lord to return in his time. He didn't. Believers of every generation have looked for the Lord to return in their time. He hasn't. We are looking for the Lord to return in our time. So far, hasn't happened. But there's going to be a day, folks, when Jesus Christ comes back to this world, comes back to this world in the clouds. He's going to return. And the hymn writer said, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. Wow, what a time that's going to be when the Lord returns. So number one, what's going to happen at the rapture? The return of Christ. Number two, notice, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Number two, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Second thing that's going to happen, the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the body of the dead saints. Remember, what did we say happened to that corruptible body? Went to the grave. Soul went to heaven. But when the rapture occurs, what's going to happen? The bodies are coming out, but it's not the same body. It's a glorified body. It's a new body. It's not a corruptible body now. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15:52, it says, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. What's the next word? Incorruptible. When my mother comes out of the grave at the rapture, she's coming out not with that old sick body. No corruptible body. Incorruptible body, glorified body, have a new body like the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 3:2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, listen, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, who shall change our vile body? Isn't that a great description of your body? You feel that way? This vile body, you know? This crazy body we're stuck with. The vile, corruptible body. And he says he's going to take that corruptible body and he's going to give them a body that is fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now that raises a lot of questions, doesn't it? But think about what Jesus' glorified body was like. Several things strike me. One, when he was at the tomb and Mary Magdalene came and they spoke to him, some of the women, and they accused him of being whom? Do you remember? The gardener. Now that tells me something. In those days, the gardeners were men. I think he still had the appearance of a man. He met with his disciples and he ate and he drank. And yet, he could also walk through walls. And I don't know if he would call it teleportation, but he could be in one place and then be in another. The body of Christ, they were able to recognize him when he came. A lot of interesting things about the new body, but here's what's going to happen. That glorified body is going to be reunited with the soul. So they're going to be back together again. And then look at the next thing that happened. So we've seen the return of Christ, the resurrection of the body. Thirdly, the rapture of the living saints. You see that in the passage? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. There's the rapture. All the saints who are alive. And I tell you, when my mother passed away, this passage helped me so much. And there were three words that helped me. They're in that verse I just read, and it says, caught up together with them. Think about this, Scott. If we're alive when the rapture happens, now both our moms are in heaven. When the rapture happens, your mom's going to have a new body. Won't be in the wheelchair anymore. Isn't that something? She'll be healed, have a glorified body. Her soul and body are going up, and hallelujah, buddy. You're going up together. We're going up together with them. Whew. The next time I see my mother, if I'm alive, well, either way, we'll be in the rapture, okay? Either way, we're going to see it together. If the Lord doesn't come back and I'm in the grave, we'll come out of the grave together. And we will be raptured together, and my, what a reunion that's going to be. I've got family all over the place. My mother is in a grave in Ohio. My dad and my brother live in Ohio. I have a sister in South Carolina. I have a brother in California. I live in Tennessee sometimes. This summer I've lived around the world. Right now I'm in Tennessee. I have a sister who lives in New Guinea. Now think about this. When the trumpet sounds, if we're all still alive, if it should happen tomorrow, we're going up together, together, to meet the Lord in the air. Wow. What an event that's going to be. And we'll all meet in the air. Boy, the songwriter said there's going to be a meeting in the air. In the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ears, will be glorious, I do declare. I think he was a Southern who wrote that song. And God's own Son will be the leading one in the meeting in the air. And you know something? There'll be no more goodbyes in heaven. Now, some have jokingly said there's no parting over there, and that's why we're all bald. I think that is not right. I think personally that's slander against me, but we just got to spend a week with Sarah and Joe and the two grandkids and down in Florida, and Hannah and Caleb got to go with us, and we were all together as a family, and what a neat time. What a neat time. We just had a wonderful time together. But Saturday morning was rough because we had to say goodbye. And say goodbye to the grandkids, say goodbye to Joe and Sarah. We're thankful that we brought Hannah and Caleb back with us. They're here to stay. They can't leave. That's part of the rule. But don't you hate goodbyes? What's good about goodbye? I don't know who came up with that word, goodbye. But anyway, boy, that's hard. I remember the days after my mom went to heaven. And I remember one day sitting out in the truck, and boy, it just hit me hard. It hit me hard. Aren't you glad, folks, if you're a believer and you have believing loved ones, that you'll get to heaven, they'll be there. You're going to meet them in the rapture going up if you're alive. And we'll meet the Lord in the air. And notice the last phrase, so shall ever be forever with the Lord. You see, you're going to see your saved loved ones, and hallelujah, you're going to see the Lord, and for all eternity, we're going to be in heaven with the Lord and with those loved ones who have gone before us. No parting. What a great thing. Okay, we got one more, all right? You hanging in there? All right, let me give you the third one. What's going to happen at the new creation? Turn to Revelation chapter 21. So we got what happens when they passed away, what happens, what will happen at the rapture, and what's going to happen in the new creation? As Preacher Lashley would say, it only gets gooder and gooder and gooder, okay? I heard him say that once. Revelation 21, and verse 1, notice, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Where's Roger Cox? Is Roger in here this morning? He left after Sunday school? I don't blame him. I don't know where he is. Roger loves to fish. I got bad news for you, Roger. No sea. And he'll respond, but there's a river. But there's a river. It's okay. There's going to come a day after the rapture. What occurs after the rapture, by the way? The rapture, and then what? We need to have a sermon on eschatology, don't we? After the rapture, before the thousand-year reign of Christ, how about the tribulation? Okay? The rapture, the tribulation. Then we have, at the end of the tribulation, Armageddon. After that, we have the millennium, 1,000-year reign of Christ. After that, we have the battle of Gog and Magog. where Christ finally and completely destroys all his enemies. You have the great white throne, and then we have Revelation 21. We have a new heaven and a new earth, and God's going to destroy the existing heaven and the existing earth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are then therein shall be burned up." God is going to cleanse this world once and for all from all corruption, from all sin, from all failure, from all that's wrong. He's going to clean it up, okay? And he's going to create, in verse 1, a new heaven and a new earth. Now, heaven today, we don't know where it is. We know there's a, we talk about the third heaven, a place where God is his presence, specifically there where he rules and reigns in heaven. We see that in the Lord's Prayer. And all of a sudden now, here at the end times, he's going to recreate this world, and all of the universe, all of the creation will now become his heaven, his throne. And he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and then something amazing is going to take place. And we see it here if you look in verse 2. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, I'll be honest with you. I've really been thinking about this, and I don't know, when we talk about heaven, could it be the New Jerusalem exists now and will just be revealed at this time? I don't know the answer to that. If you do, I'd love to know. But we do know that at this point in time, it's going to come down. This New Jerusalem is going to come down. This is where God is going to rule and reign, where all people that are believers will go. And what an amazing city this place is. Notice in verse 11, it says, "It has the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." It has these crystal walls. They are like diamonds. And again, we see the glory of God flashing and moving and bouncing off of this, I think, and just a place of great splendor and beauty. And all throughout the place, you see the glory of God. Now, I think it's interesting you have walls. What do you usually have walls for? Keep somebody out. Well, there's nobody to be kept out at this point. All evil has been destroyed. Only those who are believers are in the city. I think they're just there to display the glory of God. And this is an amazing city with these gates of pearl, I can't imagine. Walls of jasper, which we think is probably a diamond clear crystal type stone. And the streets of gold, transparent gold that is so pure. And you imagine the brilliant glory of God all throughout the city of God. And the size of the city is amazing. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. First level, 2.25 million square miles on the first level. And I don't know how many levels there are. The New Jerusalem. Wow, what a place. One of the great things, years ago I think I was helping at a funeral. I think either Pastor Jody or Preacher Lashley was doing the preaching, and I was reading scripture. And I just got thinking about Revelation 21 and 22. And we often talk about what's in heaven. But have you ever thought about what's not in heaven? What's not in the New Jerusalem? Think about it. There's no temple there. This morning in Sunday school, we were studying Solomon's temple. No temple in heaven. Why? Because God is there. God is the temple. Think about this. For all eternity, pure and perfect worship of God. Pure and perfect worship. Not like we have today. As we worship around the throne of God. There's no light source. Why would you need one? It's lit by the glory of God. There's no security system in heaven. Don't need that, do you? There are no needs in heaven. There's the water of life, the river of life. There's the tree of life. The trees, with 12 different fruits. You have the fruit of the month club in heaven, you know. Different fruit for the healing of the nations. Ongoing. Here's one I love. There's no curse in heaven. No curse. There's no sin. There's no Satan. There's no sickness. There's no sorrow. There's no sadness. And one, no sad farewells. What a place heaven must be. What a place the New Jerusalem is going to be. Think about this. How long did it take God to create the world? Really, 6 days. And then he rested the seventh. When Jesus left 2,000 years ago, he said, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when it's time, I'm coming to get you to take you back to that place. Wow, what a place it must be. Who's going to be in heaven? Who will be in heaven? Well, we find out in this very passage. Look in verse 27 of chapter 21 of Revelation. Revelation 21, 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Who's in heaven? Who will go to heaven? Only those who've had their sin washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Their names written in the Lamb's book of life. Only those folks will go to heaven. Wow, what a wonderful place. There are folks here this morning who have lost loved ones recently, and you're hurting. You're hurting. And I want to remind you this morning about heaven. And if your loved one was a believer, they're in heaven today. And 100 years from now, they'll still be in heaven. And 1,000 years from now, they'll still be in heaven. And you'll be in heaven if you're a believer. And you'll be there for all eternity. In a wonderful place. There are probably folks here this morning that say, you know, Gary, that sounds like a great place. But I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. The great news is, before you leave this place, you can be sure of heaven. If you're sitting in your pew this morning and you're saying, boy, I wish I had the assurance. I wish I knew. Let me give you the gospel very quickly. The word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what the glory of God is? That's heaven. God's perfection. We've all come short of that. But God loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you, to pay for your sin. And if you will trust Christ and receive the payment of sin, you can become a child of God. You can have your sins forgiven, past, present, future. You can receive the righteousness of Christ. And when you stand before God someday when you die, he will allow you to enter into this place called heaven. But it's only through the blood of Christ. It's not through being good. It's not through joining a church. It's not by doing anything you can do. It's by receiving Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're not sure of heaven today, my, why not? I'm always amazed. I talk to people and they say, no, I just don't think I'm going to do it right now. I think, why not? Why not receive the gift of salvation from God? Why not? Receive him. You can become a child of God. You can be sure of heaven yourself. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. May these thoughts comfort our hearts and encourage us in these days. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for heaven. And Lord, there's much we don't know about heaven. There's much I don't know about heaven. But Lord, I know it's a real place, a place where our saved loved ones who have passed away are now, where we as believers will go someday. And I pray for those this morning who've lost loved ones, God, that you would comfort their hearts and encourage them, remembering that our situation right now is temporary, but heaven is forever. And if there are folks here today who are not saved, who are not children of God, who are not sure of heaven, may they come during this invitation time and receive Christ. so that they know someday heaven will be their home. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We're just about done. I wonder if there are some believers today and you've lost some loved ones. And you say, Gary, this message this morning, boy, it helped me to focus on heaven, encouraged my heart. And I want to just praise the Lord for heaven today, and thank God for what he's done. If you're a believer today and you say, oh, that's me, well, I've been encouraged by the word of God. Would you slip up your hand? We'd like to pray for you. Amen. I've been encouraged about this truth about heaven. Amen. I look around. Many of you that are raising your hands, I've been with you at the graveside. Hallelujah, folks, it's temporary. I wonder if there are some folks here today that would say, Gary, I'm not sure of heaven. If I die today, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. But boy, I'd like to know. I'd like to know. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to take you to the Lord and remember you in prayer. And if you're saying that in your heart, saying, oh, I'm not sure of heaven, but I'd like to be, would you just slip up your hand, hold it there for just a moment. Say, I'm not sure of heaven, but I'd like to be. I'd like to know that someday I'm going to heaven. Would you just slip up your hand, hold it for just a moment, and we'll pray for you here. We won't embarrass you. I don't even know many of you, but say, would you pray for me? Is there one like that? Very quickly. I see that hand back there. Thank you. Let me put it down. And we will pray for you. I was going to stop, but there may be another. To say, Gary, I'm not sure of heaven, but I'd like to be. Would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I need to receive Christ. Is there one that would join this one that's already raised their hand? Lord, we thank you for the many who've been encouraged by your word. God, oh, it's encouraged my heart. Lord, to think of what the future holds, where my mom is today, where our loved ones who are believers who have gone on to be with you are today, and that we'll see them again and we'll be with them for all eternity, forever and ever and ever. And God, I pray for these who have needed encouragement about these things, and I pray you'd help them to be able to remain focused on the great truths of heaven, and encourage them and help them in the coming days. For this one who raised their hand, saying they needed to be saved, they're not sure of heaven, we pray they would come in a moment as we sing, and they would come and receive Christ and become a child of God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Would you stand together? Let's just have you play, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way." And God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you just need to come and talk to the Lord a little bit. Tell him you've been hurting and ask him to help you. If you're not saved, you raise your hand saying, I need to be saved. Would you come? We'll have someone take a Bible and help you to know that you can be saved. If you'll come, we'll take a Bible and help you right now. One more stanza. If you need to come, you come on. You may look this way. Let me encourage you again tonight. Four great truths. Four things you need to do when trouble comes. Four things you need to do when trouble comes. I know the pastor's not here. When the pastor's away, the church members will play, you know. Encourage you to be back in the house of the Lord tonight as we look at his word again. And be praying for our pastor and the other members of this ministry team as they'll be away from us all week now, I think, probably coming back next Saturday. And they'll be holding a Bible school. They're ministering in the church today. They're going to be doing a lot of work on the building, trying to help Pastor Guzman with some physical needs they have at the church. So be praying for them and that God would bless and help them during these days. Brother Steve Mullins, would you close in prayer, please, sir?